This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello.
You know, Bridget, quite often during this portion of our Faith in Action program, we mention ways that people can support Catholic Radio because Catholic Radio is a listener-supported station. And we just got one of the checks that we love to get. And I do want to encourage all of our listeners to keep eating. And the reason I'm saying that is if you happen to shop at Kroger, and if you happen to have a Kroger reward card, which if you shop at Kroger, you really ought to have one of those.
Yeah, we do.
You can register your card at our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and then choose Catholic Radio Indy as your charity, and then every quarter, Catholic Radio gets a check from Kroger. And we just got a check for just the last quarter, and it was over $400.
Woohoo.
Wow.
That's
keep
really
eating.
Great.
Keep eating. And if you buy it, if you shop at Kroger, we're not telling you where to shop, but if you shop at Kroger and you use your card, go to our website first, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and click on the Kroger logo. You'll see it right in the center of the page there. And it's a real simple process. You just register and pick the charity. Be sure to use all three words, Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y. So if you say only like Catholic, well, there's all kinds of Catholic charities, or Catholic Radio might get you a whole number of different places. But if you say Catholic Radio Indy, that's us. Then once you do that, you never, never have to think about it again. You don't have to mention it when you go in the store. You don't have to think about it when you go in the store. It doesn't have to be the same Kroger store every week. Wherever you shop in this area for Kroger, it automatically, a small percentage of your money goes to Catholic Radio. It doesn't cost you anything, doesn't cost us anything, and it helps us out a bunch. So, and that's turning out to be a good source of income for Catholic Radio. So if you can help us out that way, we'd love it. CatholicRadioIndy.org. Click on the Kroger community logo right in the center of the page.
Yeah, and another thing I want to mention that we have here locally is our Catholic Radio Indy official Facebook page, and I'm really excited about it because we are almost up to 800 followers. So
woo!
Yeah, it's really super cool. So that's another way that you can find out about what's happening here at Catholic Radio Indy. We promote shows and events and other things going around town. So that's another way to get connected with us. Well, we will get on with the show, so to speak, right? We are going to be talking about two topics this morning. One is going to be suicide awareness and prevention in our Catholic schools, as well as school safety. And really, young people really face a lot of challenges today. I mean, so many challenges. And today we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Mary McCoy. She serves as the Assistant Superintendent for Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you. Good morning to you all.
And are you a teacher at heart?
Always a teacher at heart, always a lifelong learner for sure.
So she is going to help teach us about what is going on in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis with as it relates to suicide prevention. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about school safety. So tell us a little bit about your role as Assistant Superintendent of Catholic Schools.
Sure. So one of my roles as one of the assistant superintendents is to help schools be in compliance with the required training around the suicide prevention.
Okay.
So back in June of 2018, legislation was passed that required all teachers in grades 5 through 12, including librarians, school counselors, media specialists, social workers, nurses, that anyone that works with students in grades 5 through 12 to receive this suicide awareness and prevention training. So I thought to myself, oh boy, here comes another training that our teachers are required to do. Mm-hmm. You know, currently they do 9 different trainings.
Mm.
But so my role was to go and get trained and to help the schools by training their teachers. Mm-hmm. And what I found out was, I think they got this one right. It is such an important topic. I know it's a difficult topic to talk about many times, but as I've gone out and trained nearly 600 employees now, teachers, nurses.
Pretty much everybody in the school, right?
5 through 12,
sure.
It's been wonderful to see the awareness share the data with our staff. They just didn't realize it, and they're living with it every day. I mean, they're working with these students. So it's been a good training. It suicide is actually the 10th leading cause of death right now.
Wow.
You know, the rates up there higher than homicide. And what do we hear on the news every night? Yeah, you'd think it was homicides, but it's actually 10th leading cause of death overall in the United States. And this is the scary part. It's the second leading cause of death in our middle school and high school students between the ages of 10 and 24.
And you wouldn't, you know, you kind of think, you know, Catholics and Catholic families would be somewhat immune to this issue, but they're not. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Suicide does not discriminate. People of all genders, age, ethnicities, religious affiliations can be at risk. And sadly, some of our very own Catholic schools in the Archdiocese have been impacted by suicides. Some of our high schools as well as some of our elementary. So it's tough. But again, the importance of getting that awareness and that training out there to our schools so that they do know how to have these conversations with students.
And as you were talking, I was thinking about the fact that should a suicide occur, which is certainly a tragedy for the family of the student who might have committed suicide, but it's also impacts the life of every student in that school. I'm sure in a grade school it would affect them, you know, very, very badly. And of course, we tend to think of, well, teenagers, they're tough, they can withstand anything. But I don't think so. When they have a classmate who maybe takes their own life, it affects them as well.
Well, and the impact is amazing, especially in our smaller Catholic communities. You know, it not only impacts all those students in that school, but it also impacts those in the parish, those in that deanery, those in our whole archdiocese are impacted by it.
Because in the Catholic community, especially in a Catholic school or a parish, we all know each other really well, so we all are really interconnected. We're talking with Mary McCoy. She is the Assistant Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and we're talking about suicide prevention and awareness. I want to ask you, are there certain signs that families or teachers or other students can recognize to kind of notice if someone might be vulnerable to this or thinking about it?
And yes, yes, absolutely there are. And
so tell us about those.
I would love to. That's a lot of what the training focuses on when I'm working with teachers and those that work with our students. Certain behaviors that might be seen in the classroom are just obvious change of behaviors. Some behaviors that would look like a sudden drop in grades, for instance, withdrawn in the classroom. Chronic absenteeism or tardiness, sleeping during class, you know, hygiene is beginning to be neglected. That's another sure sign. You know, many visits to the nurse's office or to the office for not feeling well. But one of the positives of being in our Catholic school is that our schools are typically smaller and very much involved in the students and their families, and they know their students, they know their families. It's about those relationships. It's not out of the ordinary for teachers and administrators to know every child by name and the name of their parents. So when there is a change of behavior or there's a concern, parents are notified immediately. They work with the parents, they create a plan, and hopefully get some help where that's needed.
So when you do a suicide training for teachers, how long is the training? I mean, what's kind of involved in the training? I'm curious about that.
Sure. So the training it's a 2-hour training, and teachers are required to recertify every 3 years, and they have to do this training in order to update their teaching license. So, but usually about the first hour of the training is just sharing the data out there, and which is really pretty eye-opening when I begin to do that. And then the second half of the training is strategies of behaviors to look for in the classroom. And when we do see certain behaviors, then what do we do? And the training that I use is called QPR, and we question, we persuade, and then we reference. And it's kind of teaching our teachers, our educators, how to ask those questions for those students and be empathic listeners and really listen to what's going on in those students' lives.
So you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but then what do you do? If you see someone that has these signs, and it could be a parent or a teacher or maybe even another student, because you know, we have young people that listen to this show, what do you do next? And I guess it depends on maybe who you are, if you're a teacher or if you're a parent. Are they the same or are they different? Well, in terms of what you do.
And you have a plan in place at that school that you that your administrator has hopefully put in place. And there's a process or a protocol to go through. You know, you obviously would want to involve your administrator. And if you have a social worker or a school counselor there, you're going to bring them in. And always, always bringing those parents into the conversation. But there's many resources out there, too. There's the National Institute of Mental Health is a great resource in respects to stats and questions to ask and what to look for. And then again, the QPR Institute has information about training and how to get that training and to bring that into our schools. But what's really important, and even young listeners that are out there, because I let my teachers know this isn't, while the training's always geared towards students, this is effective for friends, family members. It's a wonderful QPR Institute training that teaches you how to ask questions for a loved one if you're concerned about them or just a close friend. But there's the suicide National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It's 1-800-273-TALK. And it is available 24/7, 7 days a week for anyone that is concerned or just needs to pick up that phone and talk to someone.
Now, is suicide a topic that you thought you would be training people on when you got into the education field? Because it's sometimes things take a turn, you know, when you get into something.
Things have changed in our education world, Bridget. But yeah, and you know, in the past, it's always been kind of a subject that's kind of taboo. People don't want to talk about it. And hopefully, we are beginning to talk about it more because it's very real. Like I said, it's the second leading cause of death with our middle school and high school kids that we're working with each and every day. And it needs to be talked about, and there needs to be an awareness out there.
So what have you learned, I guess, in all this? I mean, it is good to be able to talk about it. I mean, I think when you don't talk about things, it doesn't make them go away. And probably it makes it worse because you're not preventing situations that could happen. I mean, is there anything that, you know, that you've taken away personally or professionally from being involved in this?
I've learned that our teachers need some guidance with this. They're not comfortable talking about it a lot of times. And the more strategies and the more help that we can bring in for our teachers when they see a student struggling, is going to be beneficial for all. You know, and I tell them over and over, if you're not able to ask that question, find someone that can, because it's this child's life that we're worried about. And when you explain that to parents, you know, it's all out of the safety of your child, the concern of your child, the love we have for your child, that we're asking these questions.
Well, this has been a really interesting segment on suicide prevention. We need to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about school safety in the Archdiocese. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
Listening to this radio was really like the jump start of me getting to know Jesus.
This is the station that led me to Christ.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, and our guest today is Mary McCoy. She is the Assistant Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and we're going to be talking this second half about school safety in Catholic schools. And you know, I remember when my kids went to Catholic schools, and they, you know, came home and talk about, you know, fire drill and different drills, and they talked about, you know, an intruder drill. I'm like, well, what's that? That terrified me. So I want to talk to you about what are the threats or dangers in a Catholic school, or in any school.
A million years ago, when I was in Catholic grade school, well, it wasn't quite that long ago, but seems like it. When you talked about school safety, you were talking about the crossing guard helping you cross the thing. And if you, you know, got that done, well, that was school safety. Everything was great. That's all there was to it.
That's true. Things have changed, Jim, haven't they?
Absolutely. They have. And so, I would even start out with just 10 years ago, probably, that schools and pretty much all public buildings were unlocked and anyone could gain access at any time. And today, all of our schools are locked down. They have buzzers and cameras at the entries. You know, students and teachers are trained not to prop doors open and don't open those doors for anyone. And all visitors need to go straight to the office and report in and get their name tag. So it's, and this has just been probably in the last 10 years we've seen this change.
But yeah, that's true. And I never really thought about that. But yeah, your kid forgets a book. Can you go back? No, I can't go
right,
back.
Right.
You know, I got to remember everything.
But you had asked what some of the types of threats or dangers are that are in our Catholic schools, and I would say some of the most common would be over custody disagreements between families, where parents want to put the school in the middle of disagreements, and sometimes the emotions run high, and then schools are trying to navigate these different domestic disputes that are going on. Another that seems to happen more frequently are students threatening other students.
Mm.
For example, with the use of technology, it opens up a number of possibilities.
Like cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying, cyber threats. For instance, it might be a student posts pictures of guns or uses technology for sexting. And then a lot of this happens outside of school. So there's that, you know, kind of that blurred line between the behavior of students outside of school and then when it comes into the school, how does the school then get involved and have to deal with that?
You know, you mentioned technology. I'm curious, I'm sure it varies from school to school with phone use. I mean, the phones can be really great in terms of, you know, looking up stuff that, you know, research and all that. I mean, we all use the internet.
It does vary from school to school, Bridget. Good question.
And teacher to teacher, too, because I just know my own experience with my kids. Well, some teachers, other teachers, no.
Some schools have the students check in their phones as soon as they come in the morning. Some schools have the teachers keep them throughout the day. And sometimes the students are allowed to have them on themselves as long as they're turned off or they stay in the backpack. So we're kind of all over the place with that right now.
So what is one of the challenges in terms of, do Catholic schools have any challenges in terms of school safety, or what are the biggest challenges, I guess, in keeping students safe? I mean, there's so many different things that can go wrong, you know, with safety now that maybe didn't happen before.
And it's a constant way of looking at how do we continue to keep our students safe. As you know, that's a priority for all of our schools and for our teachers and our administrators. It's always a focus. And we continue to hear from our students and our parents that they feel safe in our schools. As we go out to school visits, you know, they do feel that secure space in their buildings, which is good. But with so much attention placed on school safety in the last few years, you can imagine the vendors that are out there and willing to sell so many products and to make your school safer. I mean, I think about the millions of dollars that have been spent on keeping schools safe. It's just incredible.
Is there a school in the Archdiocese? And I know you have lots of schools. How many schools are in the Archdiocese?
67 schools.
Oh,
and we span from the north side of Indianapolis clear down to the river in the New Albany Deanery.
And I'm sure safety varies to a certain extent from school to school based on size and maybe geographical area and maybe the student body. Can you talk about that?
And
is there a school that, I don't know, that you really like maybe what they're doing there in terms of safety, like some school that you might want to highlight or just a program?
Well, at the minimum, all of our schools have emergency plans in place.
Okay, that's good to know.
Crisis teams, many certified school safety specialists are in place. But what I do want to highlight and what our Catholic schools do best, is developing relationships with students and families and building those relationships with students and knowing the students trust those in their school is so important. Knowing every student and parent by name. And it's important to have these trainings and prepare our schools for the dangers and the threats, but it's just as important to address some of those mental health issues and that our students are challenged. Most of our schools do have counselors or social workers, at least part-time, if not at least full-time, if not part-time. We've really tried to put a greater focus on is having the resources to address some of the mental health issues and the social emotional learning of our students. And I believe this is a huge benefit. And you mentioned highlighting some of our schools. We had a wonderful donor last year that felt the social emotional and the mental healthness was so important that they donated enough money to put a full-time person in all of our Center City schools, all five of them, that is designated to social emotional supports and training and being able to address those challenges with our students.
Now, one thing you hear about in the secular news all the time is cyberbullying. And that one always kind of bothers me because it kind of happens outside of school.
Right.
And yet it's the kids in school that are usually doing it. Is there any way for a school to detect that or counteract that?
And usually it comes to the school's attention through maybe parents or another student. Again, it goes back to working with our students and getting them to, you know, when they see something, say something. And even though that cyberbullying happens mainly at their home, mm-hmm. it's brought back into the school come Monday morning.
Sure.
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, that's what the administrator is working on. So the schools are involved. And it's the importance of working with those parents and getting the parents involved as to knowing what their child is exposed to.
In terms of school safety, you mentioned, you know, the strength of Catholic schools is really that Christian community and those relationships that you have, and that the teachers really know all the students and really, you know,
that
are engaged. Yeah, and engaged in their life. And mm-hmm. I think that when you have someone that is either going to bully or is going to do something, you know, that would jeopardize other people's safeties, they feel isolated. So I think that or disengaged or angry in some way. And I think that Catholic schools can really be a great example in terms of having those relationships
mm-hmm.
and kind of in a way, I don't know, fending off or, you know what, I'm being proactive.
And I just attended a training a couple weeks ago and listened to one particular speaker, and he focused on those relationships and how important relationships mm-hmm. were, and knowing the relationships that your students have, you know, what group of friends do they run with? What kind of activities outside of school are they participating for? What advocate do they have in the school that they can trust and go to and be able to talk to? Those things are so important. And if you have those things in place, that's really going to hopefully make an impact on the bullying and the other safety issues that might be in our schools.
Now, are students taught not to bully? I mean, I don't know how you teach that exactly, but
be nice. Be like Jesus,
what
right?
What would Jesus do? You know, WWJD. But yes, that's, you know, that's the benefit of being in a Catholic school and being able to teach treating others as we would want to be treated, the kindness, how would Jesus treat these treat you, and which then leads to
sure
not being mean to others, not bullying,
sure.
and not, you know, putting others down.
Is bullying, do you know, on the increase or decrease? It seems like, in the past, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, it seems like it's maybe just been coming to people's attention more.
Mm-hmm.
There always were bullies, even a million years ago when I was in school, there were bullies, but that was usually somebody picking on somebody in the, playground. Or something like that.
On the way home or something.
And of course, cell phones hadn't been thought about back mm-hmm. then. But
you know, I'm out in a lot of schools and in a lot of school visits, and I don't hear a lot about bullying. Not that it doesn't happen. It is mm-hmm. in our schools, just as in public schools
sure.
and our Catholic schools
sure.
as well. I think what's different is how we are able to approach it and to be able to use our Catholic faith and our missions to address what bullying is and address the bullying with the students, and knowing that's not how we should treat others.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm going to ask the same question I asked in the last segment. Did you ever think you were going to be doing a lot in school safety, you
yeah.
know, in terms of training out in this area?
Well,
you know,
I just I just want to say that I am in no way any kind of an expert when it comes to school safety, you know, but I do know that there's excellent resources out there.
Yeah. Can you offer some of those? Just, we had talked about that a little bit before we got started here.
Sure. So we are blessed here in the state of Indiana because they have what's called an Indiana School Safety Specialist Academy, which is known nationally.
Wow.
And they get it through grant money each and every year. And so it's just ongoing training is provided to our school employees, to administrators, to school safety specialists, and many of our schools now have certified school safety specialists thanks to this program that has been put in place. Two of us here in the Office of Catholic Schools have been certified as well and continue to participate in this training. But so the Indiana Department of Education has some wonderful resources on their website. Also, the Indiana Department or the Indiana Department of Homeland Security mm-hmm. is another place that And they are always open to having schools reach out to them and ask, inviting them out to their buildings to say, I just need a different set of eyes to come out and maybe do a little assessment of the building. What can we do mm-hmm. to help our students be safer here? Lots of different resources out there.
Now, in the first part of our program, we talked about suicide and suicide prevention, and you gave a resource there, too. And I'm wondering if you could repeat that resource.
Absolutely. The National Institute of Mental Health is a wonderful website, if you just put that in. And then also the QPR Institute, which is qprinstitute.com.
Now, is there something, we just have about a minute left, is there something that parents, is there anything that parents can do with regard to school safety, like if they, you know, see something, you know, or hear something? I mean, what can they do?
Sure.
With their kids.
Right. Continue to keep those lines of communication and those conversations going with your students. Ask your students what's going on. But also, many of our schools at the local level will host different speakers for parents and bring them in. For instance, the vaping crisis is really big right now. Mm-hmm. Teen drug abuse. Informational nights on cyber bullying or the proper use of social media and technology and being involved in your child and their social media and other important challenges. So I would encourage parents, when your schools or the local high schools do offer these kind of programs, definitely participate because it's good information.
That's a great idea. Well, this has been really fascinating, a really interesting two topics that we covered today. Our guest has been Mary McCoy, Assistant Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, Bridget, and thanks, Jim, for allowing me to be here with you today.
Well, we'll be praying for you in the trenches there, teaching those in the trenches, right?
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.